Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
All right, joining me in the studio for the second part of the show today is Herman Kelly, who is running for election currently at the moment. He wants to stay in Europe in one way, but wants us out of Europe in another way. Good afternoon to you.
Hello, Niall. How are you?
Good to meet you. Nice to have you in the studio. A lot of people, by the way, kind of fans of yours because, I suppose, of your idea of leaving Europe, the air exit,
yes,
as we call it. And we'll come to that in a minute, all right?
Yeah.
I'm looking here at you. You've handed me your election campaign poster or your leaflet, and there's quite a bit in it.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot going on here, isn't there?
Yes.
I mean, does that...
It's not just about leaving the EU and taking back control of our national democracy. It's also stuff about lowering taxes, encouraging workers, SMEs, stop wasting money on stupid things like carbon tax and...
See, some people don't... I personally don't agree with carbon tax, but there are a lot of people who do agree with it. For example, the Green Party, obviously, they would agree with it because they believe it's important. They watched David Attenborough last week. The environment is important. We need to do more about climate change. That costs money.
I was on against the Green Councillor, Pat Costlow, there on Sunday. I basically made the case, look, it's discriminatory. It unfairly hits poor people. People on low incomes have less disposable income. You had a rich person, that's no problem.
But the rich are paying more in carbon tax.
In regards property tax, in regards carbon tax. Yeah, but it's pretty much a fixed
amount. Property tax is a separate issue, right? And we'll talk about that in a second. But
like the carbon tax penalises people, ordinary people, for driving to work, for heating their homes, these necessities in life that you can't escape.
And they wanted to put more carbon tax on fuel,
don't they? Yeah, also hammers the agribusiness of farmers, milk, beef, or whatever. But anyway, it hits them disproportionately. It's not quite, but it's almost like a poll tax that you have to pay this amount, €1,000 a year, out of your basic income, and that really hammers working class people. And also, it's not effective. What it claims to do, it's basically about taking money from poor people in rich countries and giving it to rich people in poor countries. And this,
but have you looked
European
into
trading scheme? It all goes to people in China and India and all that.
The 132 I paid for diesel earlier on per litre.
Yes.
All right. There's 5% carbon tax on that.
Right.
Have you looked into where that 5% goes? Is it ring fenced for something in particular, or is it just going straight into the exchequer and that's the end of it?
Well, there's this European trading scheme, and basically, countries like Ireland and the UK and France and Germany, it's basically about transferring and giving money to companies in China and India, the big polluters, that they get part of this money. And it's not, it's also a bit of a VAT fraud scheme, or it was up until about five years ago.
They're taxing the VAT, aren't they?
Yeah, but basically you're paying people that to not, and also you also have to look at, is carbon dioxide, which is, when I studied biology, it was called plant food, it's necessary for photosynthesis. Is carbon dioxide, is that a cause or an effect of climate change? Climate change is a fact. It has always happened. It's happened over
millennia.
Are you
a denier? Are you a denier?
I'm a skeptic.
You question.
I question, and it should be to science.
So do you believe that we, as human beings, are having an effect on the climate?
I believe the major factor in changing the climate over millennia is the Earth's proximity to the sun and sunspots.
Okay, but do you believe that we as human beings, the 2 billion to now 8 billion people that we have over the last 100 years, do you believe we're having an effect on the climate?
Well,
a negligible effect on the climate?
I think, well, the major factor is the sun. I do agree that humans are having a large effect on the environment.
So we have a responsibility.
No, in regards to pollution. Like, there's no use pumping sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxide out into the air, polluting our the seas, our waterways. So that also is a green standpoint that I have, that we want to stop pollution, we want to stop use of single-use plastics, things like that. We want to bring back, plant more deciduous forests in Ireland, stop pollution as we can, increase biodiversity. But I think that the carbon tax is a complete diversion. People can't really see or...
I understand where you're going with that. And there are a lot of people who are quite sceptical of some of the information that are out there. Some of the other stuff that you mentioned as well, by the way, is the television licence. This is something that comes up on the show quite regularly. there's an argument there. I like you, wouldn't watch RTE if anybody paid me to, right? I mean, mind you, there are one or two programs. Like, it's a prime time I would watch, right? The news could be quite good sometimes. I don't believe it's as popular as it used to be.
Yeah.
But anyway, I would rather, some of the top programs in RTE, I would rather stick pins in my eyes than watch it. But in saying that, I do have a duty, because it is a public service.
Yeah.
They are providing a public service, such as things like the World Cup, you know, at the Olympics, big events that have to be televised, football matches, like all this kind of stuff. I know we can watch some of that on Sky.
Yeah.
So they do perform a public service that we, as a radio station, for example, here at Classic Hits, because we're publicly or privately owned, couldn't afford to do.
Well, you have to respond to your listeners. You're a commercial station. People have to want to listen to you.
But RTE's money has to come from somewhere.
The problem is it a public broadcaster or is it a platform for propaganda with those with strong political views? Now, when I was a kid growing up in Derry, it was known as the Sticky Station because Sinn Féin, the Workers' Party, Owen Horace, and people like that. No, they had a massive effect on RTE. They were very smart.
Well, Sinn Féin were banned from RTE, everyone's.
Yeah, but Sinn Féin, the Workers' Party, which is their nickname was the Stickies. They changed from being nationalist and to internationalist and then anti-nationalist. And RTE, many people from that party got onto RTE, helped form a culture which is very anti-nationalist. My thoughts on RTE...
So you don't believe they're impartial?
They're not impartial at all. Like, if you have a thing about discuss about the European Union on RTE, like, you just forget it.
But you've been on RTE.
I think it was, I think I had about 40 seconds or maybe 50 seconds there. I was in the audience of a debate there in Clareburn about 3 weeks ago.
Okay, have you ever been given a platform on RTE?
They used a... I've never been asked. Been asked on to a panel to discuss.
Okay, but people with air exit views have been given a platform.
For a very short time.
Yeah, and the same, if we go back to referendums, the abortion, same-sex marriage, people on both sides were given an opportunity. Yeah, and they could argue about what opportunities they were given, but they were given opportunities. So
In debates and referenda, but in general, but because they're then constrained, but in general reporting, the views that are given much greater prominence in RTE are usually people in RTE agree with it. So you have this Libby-Dibby, South Dublin... anti-nationalist set of views, which is presented.
Okay, so you don't believe it's value for money at 160.
I don't think it's value for money. I think people, if they want to tune into a radio station or a TV like Virgin Media, commercial station, well, they tune in, and the advertisers get the money. I don't think the public should subsidise what is pretty much a propaganda station.
All right, okay.
No, I'm not saying like all the journalists on RTE are bad, but I just think there's a certain predominance of...
You believe there's an agenda?
...of you on RTE.
So you believe there's a liberal agenda?
Yes.
All right, okay. Well, many people may agree, which is some may not, okay? In relation to your views on Ireland leaving the EU, there are pros and cons to leaving the EU.
Yeah, I agree.
And we have the EU to thank for a lot of things in this country. I don't think...
The roads.
Yes, it gets brought up all the time, the infrastructure. Absolutely. Yeah. And we do have the EU to thank for it. And maybe we could have afforded it without the EU, I suppose, if we had have had our war, our fisheries and everything else, and our oil and our gas and everything else that we would have had. But in saying that, we do have to thank the EU for a lot. They bailed us out as well.
They didn't bail us out. They stitched us up.
Well, I know the next four generations will be paying for it.
People we didn't elect... These old guys, like Drunker Junker, they're over there in Brussels. In 2011, the EU, IMF, European Commission, imposed $64 billion bank debt on the Irish taxpayer. They didn't bail us out. They shafted the Irish taxpayer.
Well, what was the option? The option was to let the banks fold.
Well, it happened in Iceland.
Ireland. There's a smaller population. You can't compare it.
Yes, their quarter of a million were for 4.8 million or whatever.
Well, but you see, you can't make a comparison. It would have been devastation. Well, the thing is,
those banks were Franco-German banks.
They couldn't have collapsed,
$64 billion.
Come on, you're an intelligent man.
Because it would have hurt the euro.
But how would Irish people have felt if they had gone to the banks, to the ATM machine, and there was no money?
The mistake we made was in the Treaty of Maastricht, without virtually any debate, and during the Treaty of Maastricht about joining the euro, it was all about abortion and stuff like that there, which had virtually nothing to do with the Treaty of Maastricht. The big agenda changer in the Treaty of Maastricht was we joined the euro. We lost control of our own interest rates and money supply. In the Treaty of Nice, we then voted to expand into Eastern Europe, and people from Eastern Europe had free untrammeled right. 500 million people now have an untrammeled right because of EU membership to come into Ireland. In 2009 onwards, we had cheap labour, we had cheap credit, we had a building boom and bust. 500,000 people came to Ireland, we had a building boom and bust, and then 2012, 152,000 people had to emigrate out of Ireland. So we were shafted because of these bad decisions. There weren't proper debate about it on the public broadcaster, such as RT,
but the
consequences of losing control of our own currency, losing control of our border policy, and it was ordinary Irish people who had to suffer the consequences. Now, the 64 billion bank debt, which they imposed upon us, will affect our life, the life of our children and our grandchildren for the next 30, 40 years.
That now can't be undone unless we leave Europe. If we leave Europe and change our currency, of course, we can reduce that debt by changing currency. But let me get back to immigration, because you mentioned immigration and people coming to Ireland, the amount of people that are now coming to Ireland through Europe from non-EU countries.
Yeah.
This is obviously a big thing that, you know, many people have talked to you about in the past.
Yes.
What are your feelings on asylum seekers, direct provision, you know, the humanitarian causes that we have, or, you know, taking in Syrians? What are your feelings?
Well, just there last night, I heard that the Asi Bibi, the woman, the Christian woman in Pakistan who's been in jail for many years, has been freed
and
for blasphemy and has gone to Canada. Now, there are many people around the world who, for various reasons, are persecuted. They have nowhere to go to. And I think Ireland, we do have a moral duty to take in genuine refugees, people who have nowhere else to go. But the problem is, in Ireland, is that even according to government statistics, only 8% of all those people who apply for asylum in Ireland are accepted as genuine. And in the meantime, they're here on the the vast majority of people are fake UGs. They're not genuine, but they come over, they get provided, they get money from the state, they get housed by the state, they get fed, by the Irish taxpayer. And these people are not genuine. They snarl up our legal system with all these
appeals
one after another.
So how do you change that system?
Who gets fat on this?
Okay, but how do you change the system but still treat people with dignity? Because every human being deserves to be treated with dignity.
Well, it has to be fast-tracked, not into as it is that people can be here for 10 years, 8 years, or 6 years.
So if we fast-track them, what happens if they get it wrong?
6 weeks are then put back to the country. And if they're here illegally, I believe they should be deported immediately.
In other words, if they don't fit the criteria of the convention.
Like, my thing about immigration thing, and EU membership means that 500 million people have an untrammeled right to come here, and there's nothing we can do. That's a consequence of...
But they're not all going to come here.
But they do have a right to come here if they so wish. Now, our population has increased by 1 million in the last 20 years. The Irish government, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Ireland 240 plan, they want to increase that again by an additional 1 million by 2040. Now, that has massive ramifications.
Did I hear Simon Coveney recently say that the population could be 10 million by 2050?
Yeah, the Greens were saying that as well. Eamon Ryan said that as well.
How do they even figure that's
10 million, are we going to sink on an island or something like that? But it has massive cultural and economic ramifications.
And we know that prediction of 10 million by Simon Coveney for 2050, that can't be Irish because the birth rate of Irish people has gone down.
We're now below replacement level, so like it's obviously non-Irish people.
And we do have a problem that Ireland obviously had a decreasing population since the famine.
Yes.
Okay, we had 10 million people in this country at one stage, so we have a decreasing population. Our population can handle more, we can handle more people, but sadly, we're having less babies.
Yes.
You know, because Ireland, like the rest of Europe, has seen a huge decrease in the amount of children that we're having. We've gone from having sort of 5 or 6 kids in a family to having 2.
Yeah.
So we somehow have to sustain a population to keep an economy going. Yeah. So the only option there is to allow people in, isn't it?
Well, there's two aspects. Yes, you brought up one. We're now below replacement level. I actually just give you a little aside in that. It was the first article I ever wrote in the national press. It was in the Sunday Business Post. The article was entitled Demographic Change in Ireland and Europe. And it was all about encouraging we're below birth rate. We need to encourage, as they are in Hungary at the moment, encouraging through tax incentives and housing policy to encourage families like in Hungary, or in our case, in Ireland, to have kids, to educate them and bring them up and carry on our culture and way of life. And also be successful economically. And the first comment on it from some guy was, I'm willing to do my part, you know, in regards to demographic replacement.
Somebody texts him, by the way, and says, could you ask Herman how he feels about being called racist or Islamophobe every time he has a debate?
I love races. I love the 100 metres, 200 metres, 400 metres. I love all races. Now, anything
but,
over
but
a
how
mile
do you feel when
anything
you,
over a mile is too long for me.
How do you feel when you know when people refer to you, because of you have a view,
yes,
and they refer to you as being an Islamophobe?
I just it makes me laugh, because the whole thing about racist, the only, like, it's really killing these people, because they've trawled through everything I've ever done on Twitter, on Facebook. I've been a journalist for 17 years. I believe there's only one human race. I don't believe it goes from whitest white to blackest black. There's a continuum. There's not even separate races. So how can I be a racist and believe in racial superiority when I only believe in one human race?
When you say superiority, do you believe?
It makes me laugh at it, that it kills these people, that they can't find any killer quote from Herman Kelly to say, oh, he's a racist.
Do you believe the Irish are more important than Ireland? Should
Irish people
get priority?
Should have a priority. It's incredible that people would feel uncomfortable actually saying that. Because that is the case, that Irish people, like people who have lived here for generations, who've contributed to Irish society, that we should even think, oh, it's terrible that an Irish person should be in Ireland, should be, and if they need a house, should be on top of the housing list over someone who's just arrived off a plane from Zimbabwe or from Poland. Like, of course, an Irish person who belongs here, whose family through generations have contributed to our country.
Okay, so then you made a whole point there, to generations. Mm. So if somebody comes here from Africa,
yes,
and they've been here 10 years, yeah, and they've recently got naturalisation and they're now an Irish citizen,
yeah,
should they have the same priorities?
Well, they are an Irish citizen, and that means they will have a vote. But I think...
Do you consider them Irish?
No. If I go and... if I emigrate to Africa, there's friends of mine, he's grew up in Zambia, he lived there all his life, well, most of his life, but his parents were Irish, he was Irish, he came back to Ireland, he was never Zambian.
But he didn't apply for a Zambian passport, or I assume an African
But he
passport.
Lived there, he was entitled to one if he wanted one, but he was always Irish.
Okay, but what I'm saying, does a passport make you Irish?
No, it makes you an Irish citizen. It doesn't really... No, it doesn't make you Irish.
So there's a difference between being an Irish citizen and an Irish national?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, so that's how you define it, being an Irish... So being an Irish national is somebody who has
nationality
heritage
has to, in the country. Nationality has to do with culture. A citizenship has to do with a piece of paper. Like, I'm from Derry myself. I have the freedom, if I wanted to apply for a British passport, I could be Irish, and I could say, oh, I'm British because I have a British passport, but I don't want one, and it's untrue because I'm Irish anyway. So nationality depends on culture, about family, about upbringing, and yeah, it's look. Irish people, we've been taken for a ride. If anyone raises objections to Irish taxpayers' money going to fund schemers and scammers who come here, land on a plane, apply for...
They're not all schemers.
No, they're not. They're not. But when only 8% are genuine,
yeah,
that when you raise a voice about that...
You're called racist. I did experience that last week, by the way.
That's what they do. But you did very well. You just totally get lost, honey.
I experienced that on the slideshow last week. Just to mention as well that there are many other people running, of course, in the elections, the European elections. Are you excited about winning again?
I've been around canvassing, and especially in working class areas. And I have
it?
Been to Eadmore, your alma mater, right? The reception in working class areas is really, really good.
But it's a good job, isn't it? I mean, it's a well-paid job, isn't it?
And you know, yes, it is. I think it's about $8,500 a year for an MEP. And then they also have office allowance, about $4,000 a month.
Well, it's 119,000.
No, it was per month, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's per month, yeah. It's 119,000 per year.
Yeah.
And then what's the allowance per month for staff?
Roughly $4,500 per month, so office allowance.
And do you think you can actually change anything? Because really... Apart from obviously telling us what you believe should happen,
yeah,
you don't really have the power to do anything.
Well, it's going to change in this term, because for the first time in the history of the European Parliament, Eurosceptic parties and groups are going to be coming back. We're being told, at least at least a quarter, maybe up to a third of the parliament. That means they'll have a block in what is called technically a block in minority. So they, for the first time, will be able to change and to block legislation coming from the European Commission. So that is new.
Okay, somebody texts in and says, I think Herman Kelly is an Irish Nigel Farage. Fair play to him. Do you take that as an insult or do you take that as a compliment?
Nigel Farage, I don't think he's as handsome or as modest as I am.
Right, okay. Would you take it as an insult?
He's probably
or
a better speaker.
I mean, I suppose from...
For being politically effective, he's exerted incredible change in Britain.
But it's still not sorted out yet.
From being regarded as a crank 25 years ago to... It seems in the polls that the Brexit Party are going to come back with at least 27%.
What's going to happen in October?
What I think, 2 months ago...
Give me a quick prediction.
Yeah, 2 months ago I thought Brexit was not going to happen. They're going to get subsumed in by the civil service. But I now think Brexit Party are going to top the polls. Tory Party are going to get rid of Theresa May. They're going to have a Brexiteer Prime Minister. And we're going to have Brexit under WTO rules. So it will be very changed
so
times.
So will that be a Brexit, a hard Brexit?
Yes.
So yeah. Do you see a border? Do you see a border?
I believe in the absence of negotiations, bilateral negotiations between Irish and British government, that the EU Commission have made it very clear in January, and to quote one of the guys, it will be a hard border of the European Union. They will demand, because Ireland is a member of the single market, the European Commission will demand that Ireland imposes a hard border and with structure on the border with Ireland to enforce
because essentially
the single market.
We won't have a choice in that.
Yes,
because Leo believes
yes,
we have a choice.
And why won't we have a choice? Because we're in a political union with people in Brussels. Now, in matters of EU competence, and this is my basic problem, it's not about immigration, it's not so much about money, it's basically to do with the political philosophy that I have always desired and worked that Irish people alone have the democratic ability to make their own decisions and either float by their own genius or sink by their own stupidity. And that at the moment, in matters of EU competence, EU regulations are supreme over Irish law, over the Irish Supreme Court and over the Irish Constitution. For me, that is completely unacceptable. And because we don't have the power to work in our own interests, many bad things have been imposed upon us by the European Commission and we can't stop it. Like the debt is one example. Free movement of anybody can come here. Look, we're not really a country unless...
So you want to control our borders?
Yes.
You don't want to close the borders, but you want to control them.
If it's a choice between controlled or uncontrolled, I want controlled immigration.
What do you say to people, many liberals out there, who want open borders, essentially?
Well, do you know what? When you actually push them, they don't. Because the UN says that any one time, 60 million people want to emigrate in the world. So if you go to these Green Party and People Before Profit, it's only lunatics, anarchists, Trotskyites and globalist capitalists who are in favour of open borders. Why? Because they get cheap labour.
Okay, just to mention as well, running for the seats as well is Barry Andrews, Lynn Boylan, Gillian Brain, Kieran Cuff, Claire Daly, Mark Durkin, Francis Fitzgerald, Gary Gannon, Ben Gilroy, Rita Harold, Alice Mary Higgins, Herman Kelly, of course, is with us in the studio, Tony Bosco, Aisling McNeef, Mark Mullen, Eamon Murphy, Gemma O'Doherty, Ellis Ryan and Alex White, all running for those seats as well.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.